As Manning mentioned this morning, our text is found in Psalm 112. Psalm 112. We looked last week at the blessed man, and we are looking at another psalm which speaks of the blessed man. Our Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount spoke of the blessed man or the blessed one. So the Bible has much to say about the blessed one or the righteous one or the godly one. And I think that it would do us well this morning to focus on particularly verse 1 of this passage, which Manning introduced for us. I'll start by saying this. It has been a tough week in the Irwin household with much sickness. And Grayson and I were spared. And I say that not lightly, because I say that believing with all my heart that at least one reason why I was spared is to preach this message to you today. That there is a reason why God in His mercy and grace spared me, and it is at least in part so that you would hear His word, this message today. So let the one who has ears to hear, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to these questions. Is there anyone who fears the Lord? Where have all the godly gone? I believe these two questions are two that echo deeply in the heart of the church today. Is there anyone who fears the Lord? Where have all the godly gone? Let's pray. Father, in this moment, would you grant perfect power and sufficient grace for a weak servant to preach and to teach and to speak forth your living word. Grant us this morning as brothers and sisters to be renewed and strengthened and challenged and blessed of thee by the word and by the spirit. Anyone in darkness before me, anyone perishing apart from you, would you rescue their souls today? We pray that you would bless and shine forth, breathe on this gathering in this moment for your glory. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. This psalm starts with hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Verse 1. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Something about this psalm that is unique. There are other psalms that have this characteristic, but it's what you call an acrostic psalm. Probably when you were a kid, you did some kind of an acrostic where you put a word and put the letters down. Let's say you had blessed, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, and you just went down, and then you would write a sentence with the first letter or a word in the first letter and go down an acrostic. That's what's taking place in this psalm, Psalm 112. It's an acrostic psalm. And we have for the theme of this psalm, the blessed man. Now, when the Bible speaks of blessed is the man or blessed is the one, it can mean woman. So man, woman, boy, girl, blessed is the one. It's speaking of a representative godly example. So we have as the blessed one, it's interchangeable throughout Scripture with the one who is righteous, the one who is godly, the one who is upright. And even in this psalm, you'll see that. Interchangeably, blessed, upright, righteous, good. So this is a psalm of the characteristic godly man. Now, from the get-go, we need to understand that when Scripture speaks of the blessed man and the godly man, when it speaks of a representative ideal righteous one, we know that because of all the Scripture that we have, the fulfillment and the righteous ideal perfect one is the man, Jesus Christ. So these psalms that speak of the ideal righteous one are fulfilled in a person, the Son of God, who is the righteous one. So with that in mind, we need to be thinking of our Lord Jesus, but we can also learn instruction from what it means to be godly. So we'll characterize this in two ways with two questions. First, what is the character of the godly? Second, what are the benefits or the blessings of the godly? So what is the character of the godly? And what are the benefits and blessings of the godly? And I think we see that answered throughout the psalm. Follow with me in verse 1. It's on the screen also. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, He is merciful, and He is righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever, and his horn, or strength, is exalted in honor. Then the contrast, the wicked man. The wicked man sees it, sees all this, sees the blessings and benefits of the godly. The wicked see it, and they are angry. He gnashes his teeth. He melts away, and the desire of the wicked will perish. So what do we see about the character of the godly? First, you see that the blessed man, the godly man, does what? He fears the Lord. Fears the Lord. It means he is not casual and flippant about the Almighty. We sang this morning, worthy of reverence, worthy of fear, worthy of bowing and bending of knees. We sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, merciful and mighty, God in three persons blessed. If the very angels, cherubim and seraphim, hide their faces and proclaim one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is filled with His glory. If they hide their face from the Almighty, should we not fear Him? We are way too casual as believers today. We are flippant. We're nonchalant about Jesus. He's our homeboy. We kind of put our arm around Him. There's no bowing. There's no reverence. There's no awe. In our gatherings for worship, is it characteristic of our gathering that there is reverence, that there is fear? There's trembling, that there's a sense of the holiness of God. I think in the church today, it would do us great benefit if we were to capture what it means to fear the Lord. This is a theme all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Even in the calls to worship, even in the passages where we're talking about praising and rejoicing and trembling, Old and New Testament together speak of God being holy. God is our consuming fire, and we must not neglect the gathering and encouraging one another as the day of our Lord approaches nigh. To fear the Lord, we have many references. We'll take some just in the Psalms. Psalm 111, verse 10, right before our psalm. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in His ways. Psalm 115, verse 13. God will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. Now notice what's taking place in these passages. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And blessed is the one who fears the Lord, both small and great. Meaning everybody, small, great, everyone, man and woman, boy or girl, it is blessed, it is good, it is honorable, it is right to have a reverence for the King of Kings. Blessed is the one who does fear the Lord. Some would say that the fear of the Lord essentially means to reverence, to love, to trust, and to live for God alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 speaks of the fear of the Lord as the whole of true religion. What is the chief end of man? We're summing up the matter. What can we conclude, says the preacher in Ecclesiastes? To fear God and keep His commandments. Chapter 12, verse 13. So blessed is the one, the character of the godly is to fear the Lord. Also, it is to delight, not just to delight in His commandments, but to greatly delight in His commandments. Now we labored this point last week, so we'll just mention it. To delight means to savor, to enjoy, to receive, to taste and know that the commandments of God are not burdensome, but good. You see, the wicked man sees the commandments of God as a burden, as a trouble. But the righteous one and the godly one hears the commandments of God and taste that it is good. Delighting in the law of God, specifically delighting in His commandments, to have no other gods before Him, to delight in that, to have no idols or graven images in the heaven, earth, or under the earth, to delight in that, to not take the name of the Lord in vain, to delight in that when His name is honored, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, to delight in that, to honor your father and mother, to not murder, to not steal, to not commit adultery, to not bear false witness or lie, and to not covet, to delight in the commandments of God, to know that it is good and to fear God, believing that it's good, and in fearing God, believing that His commandments are good, walking in the obedience thereof. That is the blessed man the psalmist is describing. To fear the Lord, to delight in the Lord. What else do we see? The character of the godly. He deals generously, lends, and conducts his life with justice. Verse 5. It's well with the man who deals generously and lends. So this righteous, godly man is not stingy or selfish, is he? He does not cast judgment upon. He simply gives. He gives generously. He delights. He is the cheerful giver that Scripture speaks of. He knows that it is more blessed to give than to receive. This blessed godly man deals generously. He lends and he conducts his affairs with justice, verse 5. Meaning, all of his life, his work, his affairs, his vocation. Students, your school day. Whatever you do in the day as your work and affairs and the ebb and flow of life, whatever you do it with justice, with rightness, with exactness, with discretion. The godly man does that. The godly man does it. Also, he's not afraid when bad news comes, verse 7. The blessed man, the godly man, the righteous man, when bad news, or as the King James says, as evil tidings come, that man is not moved. He's not afraid. Bad news, evil tidings may come upon his ears. But the righteous one, the godly one, says, I will not fear the bad news. I will not fear the circumstances around us. This man or this one or this woman or boy or girl, whoever it is, blessed who fears the Lord, they They hold fast. They are not afraid when tidings come, when scary news comes their way, when cancer arrives, when the loss of a loved one arrives, when the loss of a job comes forth, when the bank account is dwindling, when your little ones are going astray. The righteous and the godly one says, I will not fear the bad news. Why? Trusting in the Lord. He trusts in his God. He trusts in the one who is blessed. He trusts in the one who is perfect. And whatever circumstance happens, his heart is firm, verse 7, trusting in the Lord. It's firm, not fleeting. The heart of the righteous, the heart of the godly says, I will not be shaken. I will not wander. I will not flee like a bird from its prey, from its predator, sorry. It says, I will hold fast. I'll hold firm. Yes, the storm will come. Yes, I can hear the thunder. Yes, I can see the effects all around me, but my heart will be firm. How? Trusting in the Lord. Verse 7. We're not afraid of bad news. Why? Because we know the good news. We cling to the gospel, the good news, when bad news does come. And brothers and sisters, it will come. It will come. It's through tribulation that you enter the kingdom of God. God will put you through the fire. He will sanctify and He will refine and He will strengthen and He will mold and He will purify. Why? So that you will learn endurance and that you will learn dependence and so that you will be more holy in His sight. Not holy before Him, but holy and set apart to the world as they look at you and say, look at that godly one. Look at that godly one whose heart is steadfast. Look at that godly, righteous one that even though bad news and circumstances all around them should be shaking them to death, look how they stand. Look how they stand firm, trusting in the Lord. The righteous, the godly one, what are they? Their heart is firm. It's going to say elsewhere that his heart is not just firm, it's steady or it's established, it's kept trusting in the Lord, not being afraid. His heart is steady, verse 8. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on the adversaries. You see, the godly man is also hopeful of victory. Hopeful that even though in this fallen world the scales might not be balanced, the godly one knows that there's coming a day where everything will be made right. Everything will be made right. We long for that day. We long for that day that, yes, the scales for the godly often seem tilted. It seems like the wicked have the upper hand. But we have hope. Our heart is firm, our heart is steady, our heart is established. Why? Because we have hope that the triumph of the adversary and the enemy will come. That as surely as Jesus came the first time, He will come again. He will make all things right and He will make all things new. That is the hope of the godly. His righteousness endures. Endures. His righteousness is established. His righteousness is remembered forever. He is not moved, verse 6. He's not shaken. He's remembered forever when the wicked are forgotten. His heritage endures. He distributes freely, verse 9. He does give to the poor. His righteousness does not fade like the dew of the morning. It what? It endures forever. His righteousness shines, the godly does, and His horn is exalted in honor. This righteous one is characterized as being, in verse 4, gracious, merciful, and righteous. This is the blessed man. This is the godly man. He is merciful and gracious. Gracious meaning He does give to those who are undeserving. Whether that be family, whether that be friends, whether that be neighbor, co-worker, He is a gracious man. And even though those around them do not deserve His kindness and goodness, He gives it anyway. Why? Because the godly man is gracious. Merciful, or perhaps your translation reads, full of compassion. The godly man or woman has compassion and pity for those who are enduring trial. Has compassion and pity for the brothers and sisters and neighbor who is enduring hard times. There's compassion and pity with the godly. And it's interesting that in verse 4, He is gracious, merciful, and righteous, that these are the same characteristics mentioned of God in all of Scripture. The Lord, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's what God reveals to Moses. And that's the theme all the way through Scripture. The Lord, is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and He is abounding in loving kindness. So the godly possess the same characteristics as their God. We reflect to the Lord as His image bearers on the earth as those who have been made new in the image of God. What are the benefits of these godly ones? Looked at the character. What are the benefits? What are the blessings of the godly from their God? Well, verse 2 says their offspring will be mighty in the land, and that the generation of the upright will be blessed. So you see, the godly understand that there are not only benefits in their own life if they are blessed, godly, righteous, and upright, but their blessing comes upon whom? Their offspring, their children. And the very generation of the upright is blessed. They have the favor of God and they have the goodness of God lavished upon them. That's what it means. It's not just a godly man single. It's not just a godly woman single, stop, period. It is the godly ones and their offspring and the generation of the upright blessed and mighty in the land. This is a benefit. This is a blessing of the godly. They will see their offspring strong in the land. Well, what's another benefit and blessing? Verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness does not fade like the dew in the morning. It endures forever. The godly and the righteous whose heart is firm and they are trusting in the Lord, there is abundance there. There is wealth and riches in His house, righteousness enduring and lasting. Elsewhere, the Scriptures will teach us that the righteous will never beg for bread. We have all we need. Does He not consider and take care of the sparrow? Jesus says, consider the birds. He says, just think about the little birds in the sky. He says, doesn't your Father take care of the birds? They can't work, they can't toil or spin or put up in a barn. Does He not feed them and care for them daily? And the point that Jesus is making in that sermon, how much more will your Father care for you? How much more? Consider the lilies of the field, He says. He said, man, the lilies in the field, He said, the grassy field, they're decked out with lilies, and the beauty is far better than anything King Solomon ever experienced in his day. He said, if this is just a grassy field that God is clothing with splendor and beauty, He says, don't you think that your Father will clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Look at the field and the flowers. Listen and hear and see the birds and be mindful that your Father will care for you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills. He cares for us. And we will not go lacking. another benefit, another blessing for the godly and the upright, is that in the darkness, light dawns upon them. You see, brothers and sisters, darkness is real. Trials come. Difficulty heal lies before the believers. Darkness is around us, but it has not overcome the light that has stepped into this world. It's not overcome. And for the godly, and for the righteous, and for the one fearing God and delighting in His Word, for the one trusting in the Lord, not moved, that man, woman, boy, or girl is blessed, and light will dawn and shine in their darkness. God will come, for He is mighty to save. Light shines in the darkness. It dawns for the upright, for the upright. The righteous will not be moved. They will not be shaken. They will be remembered, not for a day, but forever. They will not be afraid when the bad, evil tidings come. Their horn will be exalted and their righteousness will endure. Horn meaning strength and power. They will be exalted in honor. These are glorious, glorious benefits, are they not? The problem is this. Many, many, many want the blessings and benefits of the godly and don't care about being godly. Many want the blessings and benefits of the godly, but do not give a rip about fearing God or delighting in His commandments. Cannot separate the two. Verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who greatly delights in His commandments. Then we have the benefits listed. Fearing God, delighting in what God has said, trusting in the Lord. Yes, tasting and glimpsing some of these benefits. Praise the Lord. But not exchanging benefits and blessings for knowing God. We know and fear God, and we delight in His Word. And if He sees so fit to bring blessing and benefit, hallelujah. Perhaps He knows that it is better for you not to have things. Because God knows you better than you know yourself. And it might be devastating to you to have wealth and riches. Your heart may turn once you start to experience success. You see, God is wise. He knows what's best for His children. And we are to stand firm. Our heart is to be fixed. Our heart is to be established. We are to be trusting in the Lord. And that when the darkness comes, and as the darkness comes, we will know that light does shine. Well, this is contrasted with what? The wicked in the last verse. The wicked will see this. They'll notice this. I love that. The wicked of the world will peek in and they'll see the godly. And they'll see that they fear God. They'll see that they delight in the Word of God. They'll see that they are experiencing some of these benefits and blessings. And what will be their response as they peek in and see? They will see it and be angry. They'll gnash their teeth. They'll melt away because the desire of the wicked will perish. It will not last. It will not endure. Questions to consider this morning. Do you want these blessings? Do you want them? Do you want them without being godly? You will never taste and never have these blessings without fearing the Lord and delighting in His Word. These blessings and benefits are reserved for the man and woman, boy or girl, who does fear. Are we delighting in His Word, or are we neglecting His Word? Are we stubborn and stingy and selfish, or do we lend and are we generous and do we give? Is our heart fixed? Is our heart fleeting? Is our heart settled? Is it divided? Do we give generously to the Lord's work, to the poor, to those who are in need, as the godly are described in this psalm? Do we fear God? Do we delight in Him? Do we have reverence and adoration for Him? You see, brothers and sisters, we fear Him now, or we will fear Him to come. You fear Him now, or you will fear Him when He comes to condemn. That will be a terrifying day when the Lord returns for those who did not fear Him. Because they will weep and they will wail and they will gnash their teeth at the living God. So do we fear? Are we godly? Are we upright? Are we righteous? Do we want our children, the upcoming generation of the upright, do we want them blessed of God? Is your character described in these passages? Could this be said of you as a blessed one, a blessed man, a blessed woman, boy or girl? Are we united to the one who does fulfill perfectly this psalm, namely Jesus Christ, the one who is truly blessed and righteous? Do we desire and long for these benefits? Do we taste them? Do we see them? Are we reflecting these traits that our Savior perfectly reflected? Ultimately, we must see Christ. Consider Christ in this psalm. Consider Christ. In the human nature of Christ, the Son of God did what? He feared the Lord, Hebrews 5:7. Did Jesus, the Son of God, did He delight in the commandments and will of God? His food was to do the will of Him who sent Him, John 4:34. Was Jesus gracious, compassionate? Was He righteous? Was He gracious, merciful, and righteous? Absolutely, John 1:14. He's full of grace and truth. He's merciful. He's full of compassion for the sheep without a shepherd. The Scripture says of our Lord, is He righteous? 1 John 2, 1-2, He's our advocate before the Father, Jesus, the righteous. He is our righteousness. He is our King. And this last point, our Lord Jesus does dispense His riches to poor sinners. He is the righteous, blessed one. He is the perfect ideal follower and worshiper. He came with full, perfect devotion and allegiance and reverence for God. What does He do? Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. That is what the Lord Jesus accomplished for you. That is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, so that in His poverty we might become rich. As Ephesians chapter 1 says, we have all of the spiritual blessings of God in Christ our Lord. He is the blessed and exalted one in triumph over His enemies, and He will return, and the wicked will perish. They will gnash their teeth. They will melt away. They will be cast out forever when He comes. And that is a fearful thing. You see, you will fear the Lord whether you want to or not. So see Christ. See Christ who gives generously and graciously to poor sinners. Take hold of His perfect righteousness as your own by faith and believing in what He has done for you in the fear of God. Be led in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Rejoice in the righteous one, or perish forever. Perish forever. But whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And yes, God did so love the world that He gave His Son. I hope that we are moved, and I hope that we are challenged, and I hope that we take seriously this call for holiness. Oh God, grant this time of response to Your living Word to be accurate, authentic, true, and real. May we not dabble and play games with the living God, but may we cling to and rejoice in the only righteous one, our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom You sent, that we might be made whole, that we might have the forgiveness of sins, that we might taste the benefits He purchased for us. Lord Jesus, we exalt You as the righteous one and the one who was rich, who was made poor, that poor sinners might be children of the King. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray.